How many understand that it's complete already? There's nothing you have to do except that, except it. Come on, Sheba, say Sheba. That's Hebrew. The Greek word is called hepta. Say hepta. H-E-P-T-A. But you got to say with a k, because that's how they speak in Greece. That's how they speak in Israel. When you go visit Israel, get used to the languages, especially English. Because always, no matter what, even Rabbi sometimes starts speaking. When he starts speaking Hebrew to us, he's speaking. I said, okay, brother, get back. No, it actually means a word you don't want to hear. Hepta means perfection, perfect. Completion means perfect. They're twined together. How many know what I'm saying? It also means totality, meaning. Meaning this together. You combine them together. Bring these two words together and you're going to get fully or totally finished. And see, this is for us to understand. Even in numerology, be careful because in numerology, we got witches and warlocks. We have the divinations, the diviners out there. You got to be careful because no matter what God has given us as the truth, there's an opposite, a lie out there. And there's such a great lie right now in Christianity. Say Christianity. How many know what Christianity represents or means? Christianity means Christ-like. Are we Christ-like? We have brought Christ into our image rather than putting our image into Christ. What does Christ mean, though? What is the actual interpretation of Christ? I'm trying to bring you to a place quickly and understanding a place that who we are. Say who we are. Who are we? Albert Aguilar, what does that mean? It means nothing. Take the name out. Who am I? Who are we? We're the actual creation of all God Almighty. When he created Adam, he didn't put Adam as a name. He put Adam for Adam's sake, not for his sake. Because for his sake, he has a whole different name for us. Without you realizing the Revelator wrote it like that you have a name written on your forehead you cannot see. It's a name that he provided for us. Say us. Looking up my name, actually Albert stands for noble. I like that. But am I noble? Was I noble? Absolutely not. Can I become? Absolutely. Why? Because this is the nature that God has allowed that we can or we won't. This morning, in the month we're representing, and actually the number 7 in his world, meaning God's world, in God's life, it means rest. Because on the 7th day, so if he's rested, we should be resting. And we're not. And this is where we're gonna attack that, because from this point of 2026 to whenever God comes, because what's coming yet? Because how many know, if you know the Word of God, there are days that are gonna come that we don't want to be a part of. If you know the Scriptures, and the good news is we're not supposed to be a part of it. I'm not afraid of AI. Are you listening? I'm not afraid of the mark of the beast. I'm not afraid of Antichrist because Jesus says, he said they're already here when he was walking. But what I'm more concerned is the Christ, meaning the anointed one who is in us. He's in us. Come on. And that anointed one destroys the yoke because how many know we have yokes on us? How many know what a yoke is? We probably should probably put it out there. Give me a big old ox and then put it on. It's a thing that they use to put around the ox to control them. See, when you don't realize, are you being controlled? When they brought out the Terminator, when he came to the world, right? He looked like a human. He took on a form of a human, didn't he? I'll be back, right? But then when the test started coming, reality started showing who he was. Reality is going to show us who you are. It's going to show them who we are. Come on. And who we are? We're the anointed ones of Almighty God because the anointed one lives in us. He's the Christ. And what he did on the 7th day for us as the the anointed one coming from the Father to this earth for his, the children. We are in a place right now that totally, fully finished. And this is why it's important. I'm pointing you always to the cross now. I'm going to be always pointing you to your cross, say my cross. Because he told you, he tells us, pick up your own cross. Don't try to pick mine up. Don't try to pick your husbands and wives. Listen, you cannot pick your wives up. That's hers. Wives, you can't pick up your husbands. That's his. You're all going to have to answer to your cross. Say, my cross. You're going to have to answer to what is fully finished. But it's going to be up to us to understand that. And I'm in a place of life now, you know. I'm reaching my 70s soon, right? I'm going to, you know, and I don't know what that means, but because I don't know what 70 meant before. But now I kind of get a little inkling. It is just a frame of time. Because I don't know what it's still representing. I'm looking at Mr. 80s here on a motorcycle. Flips, it blows me away. I said, that can't be. It's not supposed to be. Because I never thought it could be. How many know what I mean? Because in the world where I came from, we didn't make it past 50s. If we did, we were lucky. Hello, somebody. So getting back to where we're at today, because we're here, and we have promises of yes and amen, and those promises are representing, number one, I am to be free. I don't have to do anything to acclaim my freedom. But you see, I'm not talking about the freedom of our country, which I thank God for our freedom of our country. I'm proud to be a part of that. My lineage comes from that because I don't know who my father was, but he was in the military in 1956 when I was born. So I know that he fought for our country. And now I know why it's in me. And I know that he was in the Air Force. Now I wonder why I like bungeeing and parachuting and all that dumb stuff. Tempting God. Why do you want to tempt the Lord that I found out today, right? Why do I want to jump out of a perfect flying plane? Come on. Why do I want to jump up a high building just to think I can hit the bottom and get sprung up? That made no sense back, all right? It did back then. But now that I've matured, and I want you to know, I was saved when I did that stuff. I want you to know that. Come on. I was saved when all these many things have been that I got to test, but not coming to realize that though I could do those things that I did in that young stage of rising in Christ Jesus, that my mature level wasn't where it should be. Because when you become that one, born again, say born again, your freedom begins at that point. This is why it has to be important that you know when that point has run and taken its course. Again, I tell you, my rebirthing is December 12th, 1980. That is my rebirthing, and I stand on that. So technically, my 70 to be is going to be 46 to be. You see how I'm putting that? So in my mind, I'm 46 years old, and I can do all things, right? We say it through Christ Jesus. But I need to remember in Christ Jesus, not in the fleshly desires that my flesh has and wants to be and be a part of, because regardless, I still am processing the age processing inside. Say inside. Even though I belong to Christ, he purchased his body. Say amen, somebody. But here we got to go to John, the Gospel of 8, and let's start reading and let's start getting an understanding of our freedom, which I thank God for what I saw yesterday. I thank God for what was given to us as Brother John said up here, Ames, you know, I'm not a historian. God forbid I'm a historian. I didn't even like school. Let's put it like that. I went because I was forced to go. Come on. Now I'm grateful for the little bit I do have that I went for. Because I was very intelligent before I went to school. I was very, in the mathematical way, pretty up there in algebra and all of this. I'm still good with numbers. I still operate the numbers today for this to run this church. I look at the numbers, say the numbers. But the numbers have to reflect me to go back to my God, because the numbers are not making sense. They're just not making sense. We should have never bought this building if you look at the numbers. But the numbers didn't represent what we see in the natural. It represent what I see in the spiritual. Everything to me as I see it now is in the spiritual ground. I don't look at the flesh because I know what your flesh can be. I know how far you can go as far as your flesh. But when you start talking to me in the spiritual sense, you can be, in the natural, you can build the Tower of Babel. That's a high. But in the flesh, you can go out straight into God and talk to him. Paul the Apostle went to the third heaven, had a talk with God himself about his issues, say his issues. Because he was tired of being the way he was, beaten and stranded. I would be tired after the first time. You know, theologians say, don't believe theologians. They don't know. They don't got the Spirit. God's never going to reveal what the Spirit wants to reveal to you. Because this word is so spiritual, the natural man cannot receive it, what God is trying to tell us, say us. So when Paul the Apostle, you'll read that in the book of Corinthians, the writing of Corinthians, that he went past the second to the third heaven. You'll never understand. There's a second heaven and there's a third. Where's first? Where's the first heaven? You're in it. You're walking through it right now. And you're supposed to be in it because of what the anointed one has come and brought in rest. You're supposed to be in your rest. Rest doesn't mean you lay back and watch TV all day long. That's not what it means. Hello, somebody. I don't care how good the programs are. Come on. It's not what it means. What it means, we got to get to the place to understand what God is trying to tell us. Because we're in a resting hour. We're in a time that we're in our liberty. We're in a time. And that's the problem. We're in a time, but you see it in the natural. We're in a spiritual hour right now. We're in the exact day of God's will right now, and you're a part of that. Everyone alive right here is a part of God's plan, whether we like it or not. But you'll see the difference between those that are in the spiritual walk versus those that are in the natural walk. Because the natural walk still cannot receive the things of God. Hello, somebody. Some of you may not understand this until that spirit in you that's in you starts rising. And it's not that. It's a baby. We're the baby. The mindset that we have needs to be transformed. The 12 and 1 of Romans, let this mind be transformed. What does that mean? You gotta let it go to receive. And so our liberty, because my liberty, right? Well, I'm in an hour of completion. I'm an hour of satisfaction. And how many know most of us aren't satisfied? Always want more. And the more just leads you, I got to have more. And the more have more leads you to, I got to have more. Why? Because your eyes are not where they should be. They're in the natural, not spiritual. Come on, say amen. Because what is enough? When will it be enough? The more you have, the more you want. And then the more you have, the more you're going to get. Somebody's going to want to have some of yours, and it makes you mad. Hello? But when we're at in this natural sense of a day completely served by God, allowed by God, celebrated by God with us yesterday, giving him the glory. I thank God they gave him the glory yesterday. Come on, say amen. We got a president that sits up there giving God the glory. And of course, everybody else hates it because they don't like God except those that love God. Doesn't mean they're in love with God. Because we can love God, doesn't mean we're in love with God. Oh, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there because I'm going to talk about your marriages and your relationships and blah blah blah. But watch what God, the Gospel of John. John is one of the more of love writers. He brings it in a manner that's, you know, he survived. Remember, he survived while all the others didn't. He's the one that sat with Christ, listened to his heartbeat. He put his hand on his head on his heart. They called them homosexuals. Did you know that? It's pathetically sick how people are in the natural. Well, he was homosexual because look at how close he was with John. They called David homosexual, King David, because he loved Jonathan. You sick people. You're sick, but that's the natural. The spiritual doesn't look like that, doesn't see that. The spiritual sees the love of God. Come on, say amen. Because we all should have the love of God in us. But you also have a natural love. It's called the phileo love. You got to be careful for the eros. That's a fiery love. But then there's that agape love. That's the love of God. And we need to learn to walk in the agape, not the eros, the fiery God, you know. I don't want to go there. Of the flail, you know, brotherly love. Yeah, you're my brother. Until you do me something wrong, you're not my brother. I hate you now. That's our relationships in our world. You got people who love you until you do something wrong. And all of a sudden that love goes. Hello, that's not the agape love. The agape love, I understand, because that's the spiritual love of God. But chapter 8 is going to give us a hint. Say a hint. My wife said it. I said, oh my God, you're giving, I don't even tell her what I'm writing. I'm not telling her my thoughts. I'm watching. I could be watching whatever. I could be, sometimes people are talking to me. I'm not even paying attention because my mind took off just on a statement that triggered. Something in the spiritual sense. And then now I'm watching that. I'm staring at you, but I'm seeing something different. You got to be careful for that, especially if you're driving. Hello? And so, but here's the hint of my freedom. Say my liberty. Starts with verse 36. It says, if. Does yours say if? King James Version? Does yours say if? Huh? The New King James, Version doesn't say that, does it? It says therefore. No, the question is if. Is it or isn't? New King James kind of put it is. No, it isn't. It's a choice. Say it's a choice. And the moment you take choice away, then it becomes a dictatorship. And God is not a dictatorship. This is why we got to be careful with the interpretations. We got to be careful with the way they bring. There's so many. I got so many that I read from. I said, oh my God. Oh my God. King James Version, one of the first original written ones, right, for the king, right? It says if, not therefore. They put if after therefore. It's not correct English. Oh, it's correct English. No, it's not. God don't speak English. When he was on the world, when he came down as a human being, he spoke what? Arabic. Aramaic. Not Arabic. Aramaic. He spoke it. So when he was out there, they spoke Hebrew, Greek. Yeah, he understood all those, but he spoke Aramaic to them. And we have no idea because every word of the Aramaic definitions, man, one has like 15 different definitions that we got to choose what's right at that moment. Only they could at that time because they understood that moment. How many know what I'm saying? Again, like I'm telling you, you weren't there when he was down there with the 12 talking. We were never there. We will never be there, but you know who was there? The Anointed One. And where's the Anointed One? He's in us. Better, and he brings it to you. This is what I meant. Right here. When I spoke to my disciples, I meant this, not that, not that. That's America. That's French. That's religion. Hello? But this is what I meant. And then, of course, you look it up in Hebrew or Greek. So he says, if the Son, who's the Son? Jesus. Come on, who is the Son? You have to know that Jesus was the Son of God. Right? On earth. Now he's the Son of God in heaven. Come on. If you know who he was here that we're reading, you should know who he is there. Hello, somebody. He's up there right now. You know what he's doing for us right now? He's reminding the Father, bringing remembrance of the Father, bringing the understanding that God, Father God, I was the perfect one. I'm interceding because they're not perfect, because you have a natural flesh. You're still in the world, but you're not of the world. So when you make mistakes or you do wrong and condemnation comes, he brings conviction, never condemnation. He brings it that we can make it right. Why? Because he's the Son. And he goes, if the Son, who's dwelling in us, because his Spirit now dwells in us. Hello, somebody. It's called the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, you know that, right? If the Son, therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, that's where we can start, and we can get stuck here, but I don't want to get stuck here. But what I will say, how many of you are free? Amen. How many of you are really free? Inside. That freedom lets you control your thoughts. That freedom controls your heart. Hello? That freedom should be able to control your ways. That freedom should be able to speak clearly of not who you are, but who he is. Because he's in us. Hello? But here's the problem. You see, it's good that we can reach down here. But you have to read before that. You just can't go to this one scripture. You got to read before and after at times here. And I'm always going to tell you. But the truth of this matter is not 36. It's 32 of the same chapter right here. Go to 32. Just go four up. And Jesus, this is him speaking. Because in the King James Version, in the original Bibles, the letters are written red because he's speaking. Well, whether it's black or red, he's speaking. Nothing is done without him speaking. Come on. Everything that was and is written by him for him. Verse 32 is the key. Say the key to understand my freedom. Say my freedom. Without it, you'll never walk in the fullness that God has called you to be. You will not walk with the understanding what God has called you to be. You'll never reach the potential that God has called you to be. And you'll never fulfill what God has called you to be. Because he's called you for more than you think. He didn't call you just to come into church. He called you to come in to be sons and daughters, to rise up as a son or a daughter. Amen. That's what he called us for. Come on. And it reads on verse number 32 in the King James of chapter 8. And you shall know, say, I shall know the truth, and the truth makes you free. You see, but what is the truth? Well, Jesus said, he put it like this. If you go to the Gospels, I'm not going to tell you, but it's the same Gospel. John says, he said it, I am the way. I am the truth. Come on. And no one can get to the Father except through me. Come on, say him. This is why we don't go to as religion has instructed us, I never go to the mother. I go straight to the Father. You know why? He has a prescription. And no, I know we don't like it, but if you come on Wednesday night, you're going to hear things, and we don't say it in the wrong text. We don't say it in chauvinistic ways. We don't teach chauvinistic ways here. Come on, say amen. It's not about us. It's about him and his word, because this is truth. Say truth. Come on. He set the order. It's Father God. It's the Savior. It's the husband. It's the wife. We didn't put that. We don't say it like that in the wrong interpretations that they interpreted out there. We don't do that. What we do is he put the order. We follow the order. Meaning I have to know the truth of the one that set the order. I didn't set the order. He set the order. Come on, are you listening? You see, so today when I see the order, especially and of course, Father is. Dads are that because they have children. Come on. And that's why he says, our Father, we're his children. But he sent his Son, because that was his Son that came down in the form, right? But it's actually him coming down in the form that we can understand the order. Say the order. The prescription. Protocol. Everything has protocol. Don't you agree? Come on, everything. And what's funny is we'll follow all protocols of everything else in life except the true protocol. Protocol of life. There's a program called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit. And it's a Jewish brother telling you the truth in English about what's happening in our country. It's pretty interesting. I only watch it occasionally, so don't think I get it. I shall know the truth. I should know the truth. We should know the truth. What is that under? What does that mean? What does it mean to us that we get this? But basically, in the Hebrew, it just means truth. Not a lie. The opposite of a lie. And that is to the things of God. And so, understanding that we're here to get to the place of freedom. That freedom comes that I need to know the truth, and that truth sets us free. So if you're not free right now of something, it's because the truth hasn't been able to replace that lie, because that's what it is. It's a lie. Because God already gave you the permission in Philippians, right? In the third chapter, you can do, no, fourth chapter. You can do all things through, right? Through who? The anointed one. Why? Because the anointed is what? The anointed destroys your yoke. Say my yokes. So no matter what you face, and I had to face many things because of the way we were born, and then we became born again. Born again didn't mean everything's cut off. What it means is you got a new start. And in that new start, as you progress in life, there are things you're going to have to cut off and let go. You're going to have, there's things that are going to come in to remind you, and the freedom that we're going to be talking about, because we feel like it's impossible we can do this walk. It's impossible. But that's a lie, because the Bible says it's impossible with man, but it's possible with me, because that's the truth. The truth is we got to learn to walk in the truth. But to walk in the truth, you need to know the truth. What is this truth, people? And it's the Bible. Prior covenant, never been washed away. It's fulfilled. New covenant, it shows us the way. Because he said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. And then he goes, I'm the life. We understand the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? John 10:10. I'll let you remember that. The thief comes to steal, right? But I've come to give you more in the abundance of life. Number one is rest. Everybody thinks of riches. No, get riches out of there. Because with false riches, you don't rest. Because that'll just keep driving you for more. And God never drives you. He leads you. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, not driven by the Spirit of God, those that are led, Romans, I'm not going to tell you a chapter, look it up. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are my sons and daughters. This is why I've learned. And it's not an easy journey, because you have to let go of a lot of things, because not everybody loves what you do. Not everybody loves us. I'm sorry. But I'm not going to let no one come and rob us from what God came to give us. I love my peace. Hello. I love my rest. Meaning I want my mind to be settled now. And that doesn't mean it doesn't stop. It keeps sneaking. Come on. It has a lot of desires for the things of God. But to have those desires, I'm praying those come in and assist us, because we can't do it. We're the shepherds. Hello, somebody. So what God's going to do, he's going to bring them, but you got to accept them. And well, at the same time, I got an enemy that doesn't want it to move forward. And so we resist the devil. You know this one in the gospel, the epistle of John. Resist James, I'm sorry. Come on, Holy Ghost. Resist the devil and he has to what? He has to flee. When's the last time you resisted the devil? Because he doesn't come in a form like we see. He comes, all he just starts speaking these little words to you. These little lies to you. That's all he said. And when you start listening to those words, it's a place where the thief came to steal. He's coming to steal from you. He's coming to rob you. Rob you of what? Your rest. Your peace. Come on. That's why sometimes your homes are so disarrayed, right? Because peace has been robbed somewhere. And it all starts with thoughts. And then those thoughts turn into words, and now we're in trouble. Come on. Who's right? Who's wrong? Hello. Who's right? He is. Who's wrong? We are. When we learn this and we walk in this, to learn to be slow to speak, as the epistle of James says, be slow to speak, Albert. Yeah, but I want to defend myself because I know I'm right. And I know when I'm right. But Jesus didn't defend himself. And he was right. Come on, say amen. Amen. So understanding that what we're seeing here, to walk in this completion, to walk in this perfection, walk in totality, walk as in a fully, fully satisfied, finished work of God, I got to look at the cross, nowhere else. If I can't take my eyes off the cross, I'm going to see everything else except my victories. That's why you can't walk in your victory. You're supposed to walk in your victory this morning. I don't care how you feel, because feeling doesn't prove it. Feeling's letting you know that you got to bring the truth back in. Nope, I'm well, Lord. I'm healed by your stripes. I can do all things through Christ. I know we had a busy night yesterday. I know we stayed up late. Foolish people stayed up late last night. Come on. Foolish people kept us awake last night. That's 2-3 in the morning, still shooting off. What are they shooting off? The freedom that God provided that we could have a free country. Come on. And because they're awake, they want you awake. So what do? Rebuke the devil. Come on. You have authority. You can rebuke winds, but you don't use your authority because you don't believe you can rebuke winds. We rebuke winds for outings. Hello? Go to the book of Galatians. And let's go to chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. My wife said Galatians 5. Started with the scripture. I said, "Oh, where's she going, God? You gave me Galatians 5, but not that, not verse number 1. But it does look good because it says, stand therefore in your liberty, right? She said it, right? She read it to us, that in your liberty. I go, that's my title, liberty. Not yours, mine. Say mine. I want my freedom. Come on, say amen. My freedom is I can't be listening to everybody out there. I can't believe everybody what they're saying. I don't care if it's my own family, because my own family will try to take me away from God. Come on, come on, come on. God's going to understand you. You miss one time. I can miss all I want. I'm going to tell you right now. But God put me the head. And with the head missing, where's it going to go? Moses, I learned from Moses. Moses had all that upon him until God had to send his father-in-law and say, go help him. And then he divided by 64. Still 64 for 3 million, 2 million, 1 million. Hello? It's still not enough, but God sent him rest there because he needed rest. Why? Because he showed it. He proved it. Because when you're not at rest, let me tell you what Moses did. He was told to speak to the rock. But what is the emotions did? You would do the same. When you're frustrated or the unthankfulness of the world is upon you, come on, you're doing your best. You're doing everything you know you can, and everybody's just pushing you and coming against you and speaking about you. And so when God says, do this, what do? He says, just speak the word. That's for us. Speak the word. So what did our emotions do? We're like Moses. I'm going to show you because God is with me. I'm going to show it to you. So what do? He stroked the rock. He went and struck the rock. I'm going to show you. Not once, he did it twice. I get it, man. You want to just hit him sometimes. See, we know Moses. But you don't have a million people that you're responsible for. All you're responsible is for yourself. Or a mother if you have children. Or if you're a father who has a wife or children or a wife, period. That husband's responsible for you. Come on. He's our cover. We're the covering. And if you're not covered, she's not covered. Come on, are you listening? So receiving this freedom. Because, therefore, in our liberty, it's already been given to us. Paul's telling us to the church, it's already been given. But that's not my text. My text is verse number 13. Look at it. It says, for brethren, you have been called people. We've been called into freedom, liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to your flesh, but by the love to serve one another. We're here for one another. Hello? When you're close with God and you got to be a part of this world, when I was in upper management and I had to be with the owners and all these other owners and all these people had all this kind of money, and I had to listen to their talk. You know, watching their mumblings while they're were in their expensive wines, you know, $1,000 a bottle. I go, why don't you just give me $1,000? $1,000 a bottle of wine. And then you're telling me I can't have any because the bosses knew who I was. Oh, he can't have none. He's a pastor. See, I never hid who I was. Are you listening? And I said, why can't I have $1,000 drink? Who are you to tell me I can't? But what I'm glad is that I showed my fruit, that they stuck up for me. Because when they said he couldn't, I'll tell you how God will make you feel good. When those owners, among all these owners, come on, these people are rich. And they stand up and say, oh no, they've covered my glass. Oh no, he can't have any of this. You know what that waiter said to me? Oh, you must be the driver. How do you think that feels? Well, it feels even better. They're the ones that still, oh no, he's not the driver. He's a pastor. He don't drink.
Booyah.
Come on. Come on. Not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of who called me. I'm at my freedom. I'm at my rest. I'm blessed to be with these, with a 12th grade education, teaching these people. That's why I was there. I was going to go teach them how to sell and make money. Only God can do that. Say amen. Only God can provide like that. Why? Because I'm called to freedom. Why? Because what was meant for evil in my past, He turns it to our good. Comes our good, greater yet. Come on, say amen. Why? Because I'm in my rest. No, I'm in my freedom. I could have said, no, that's okay, let me have a drink, but I didn't. And when that one categorized me, I thank God they stood up for me. Praise be to God. I thank God for them. Come on, say amen. But I don't use it for an occasion of my flesh. I have a right to do whatever I please. You have a right to do whatever you please, but you got to make sure if you want your rest, you want your freedom, you want to stay in your liberty, is it right with God? See, I don't care what they think. Come on, say amen. I don't care what they say. I don't care. I want to know what God says. What says the Lord on this? So, Father, I need to know more of you, right? Come on, say amen. And then it goes on. For all the law, verse number 14, is fulfilled. Look, it's done. You can't. There's nothing you need to do. All sacrifices are done. All I have to do is obey. Come on, I want to get this over with. For the law is fulfilled in one word. One word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But number 15, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Verse 16, this I say then, here it comes. This I say, walk in the Spirit. Hello. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And here's my key text of this chapter, verse 17 now. My flesh, not the flesh, say my flesh, because this is you. He's talking to us. Say us. You talking to me? Yeah. You talking to me? Absolutely. Are you talking to me? Yes, I am. What do you not understand? Are you talking? Come on, are you here? He says, my flesh, it lusts against the Spirit. It wars against the things of God. Are you listening here? I've told you God's not a dictator. Hello? He's going to let you choose, choice. Come on. You have flesh in you. You have Spirit in you. It's going to war you. It's going to war every day of your life. Until you learn to take control, and you walk in this control, you won't understand your freedom. But once you understand this, of the flesh versus the Spirit, you walk in your freedom. Because they didn't give it to you. They didn't die for you. Oh, I'll die for you. No, you won't. Come on. What do we say? Till death do us apart. Then why is divorce so high? Liars. They should take that out of the equation, right? You take her as long as you can live. You know, this walk, because this walk goes with Christ. Come on. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the thing that you would. See, to walk in this freedom, that God's going to have you walk in your freedom from here on out, and understand this. Understand this. Watch. To do that, Philippians tells us a secret there. Philippians chapter 2 tells us a great little secret here real quick. Like, and I just kind of gave it away a minute ago, but to get to walk in that freedom, to walk in that with wars, you say wars me, because it wars you. Come on, say amen. It wars you. This is why husband and wife, man, you guys, you need to be at these meetings where we're going to attend. Yeah, invest in your marriage. Come on, say amen. You don't invest in your marriage, you might not care about your marriage, because you don't hear this no more. We're in a time. Let's try it before we get married. That's where we're at. I thank God for those that made it right recently in our church. Come on. They got married and I let them use the church. Why? Because they're making it right. Not because I believe in them. They got counsel. They should have got counsel. Realistically to me, they should be having counsel. But it's too late. They already tried it. Hello? So do it right. Come and do it right. Where is a better place to do it right than here? If it's doing right, that's what I look for. Come on, say amen, somebody. Because marriage is of God. It's one of the highest hierarchies of callings of God. We're praying for everybody to have a good wife, the right wife. Hello? But you better know what that means. The right wife for the male is somebody that loves God more than they're going to love you. Hello? The woman looking for the right God, the right man, is going to be somebody that loves God more than they're going to love you. So you can't be jealous. Come on. Verse number 5, chapter 2, book of Philippians. King James says like this. Let this mind be in who? Me. Which was also where? You don't think Jesus had to fight? He had to fight. Come on, say amen. He had to fight. Growing up, he had to fight. He had the same desires of flesh that you have and I have. He was in the flesh, but he made a decision to walk in the spirit of what the calling has called us in this world. He had the battle. Say battle. Come on, say amen, somebody. We got to get to this place. Watch. And watch, it's impossible. Look what 1 Corinthians says, though. And I'm going to close with this one and the statements behind it. Same chapter, 2. 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to close you with this, with a few statements. Because I know that you've been called to rest. I know you've been called into your liberty, your freedom. And that's what we're going to fight for the next few months. Your freedom of your mind and your heart that comes to condemn you when it's not our God that came to condemn us. It's already been fulfilled, but it's so easy to get your eyes off the cross. So easy. This is why I say don't tattoo it. Don't wear it around your neck. Put it in your heart. Because if you don't put it in your heart, your main battles is going to be you, yourself, and yourself. Your jealousies, your angers, your false hopes. And we're already fighting hope against hope. We're already fighting that. Hope again. Why do I have to fight against your hope? I shouldn't have to fight against the hope of humanity. I should be fighting Satan's and his minions. Come on, say amen. His lies out there. His lies of people. He uses people because they put the cross in the wrong place. Not in their heart no more. And you'll understand this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to do some reading to close you out. Is that okay? King James Version now. Now, watch this. Here's confirmation. Here's confirmation. I want you to know this. I want you to hear. Highlight it. Verse number 12. Right? Now. Say when? Now. We have already. It's already done. Received. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's the truth. See, here it is. The truth. Say the truth. And you have to know this, that you'll learn to walk in this freedom, walk in this liberty, right? Verse number 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, because there's teaching the wisdom of God and teaching the wisdom of man. How many know what I'm talking about? But which are holy, which the Holy Ghost, I love, there's that word, Holy Ghost. It's not of God, Holy Ghost is Spirit. No, it's Holy Ghost right here. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, I know, comparing the spiritual things with spiritual. Number 14, but the natural man, here it is, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Number 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Whoa, wait a minute. We're not supposed to judge. Who are you to judge me? God knows my heart. Oh, help me here. Look what he says. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Come on. I don't care who you think you are. You can't judge me. You try. You can call me all names. It's not my fault you interpret things differently. It's not my fault that you see things differently. It's not my fault, say amen, somebody, that you can't see the what we see. We're here for you. We're here for the Almighty God to lead you. How many were at the cross with Jesus at the end? Not one of his disciples were there. Hello, somebody. The closest one to him were not there of the followers. You know who was there? The most forgiven. The woman caught in the midst of adultery. And Mama. Mama had a watch. Come on. Who were his closest ones? Hiding. Angry. Didn't understand. Because the Holy Ghost wasn't sent yet. You have it now. Come on, say amen. And so, yet we are not judged of no man, even though they try to judge us. What kind of pastor are you that you say those things? What kind of person are you that you do those kind of things? What kind of person? What kind of person? What kind of person am I? I'm a man of God from the Almighty God. Not called by myself, called by the ways of God. Come on, say amen. And I'm sorry I don't do what you do. I'm sorry you're not going to convince me to do what you do. All I know is it is written. And that's all I can tell you. It is written. Come on. I'm sorry that you don't have a spiritual ear to hear. I'm sorry you don't have a spiritual mind to receive. I'm sorry you don't have a spiritual mouth to speak. I am sorry. But what I'm not sorry is of the one who's saved me, adopted me, and calls me son. Come on. That's who I'm here for. You can all be absent. I'm still going to be here. Why? Because he's here. He's the one that called me here. Come on. And if I go on vacation, I take him with me. What does that mean? I'll be in church on Sunday just to go visit. I want to see what you're doing on this side of the world. Hello. It's just the way we are. Why? It's my nature. Why? Because this is my promise. And here's my text now. Verse number 16, in closing with this with a few words. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct us, him? Who knows the mind of the Lord? Can anybody raise their hand and knows the mind of the Lord? Every hand should have went up, huh? Y'all should know something of God already. You all know something. We're teaching you right now things of God. You can raise your hand, but condemnation is going to say you can't. Condemnation is not going to let you, because you know what your flesh is going to say? Remember what you did. Remember what you said? That's all your flesh is going to do. But you know what? Walk in the flesh or walk in the spirit at that moment. Change it. Come on, say amen, somebody. To get to the place that we read in the beginning. Come on, we have known the mind of Christ. Come on. But then verse 16 goes on. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who? Listen to this. But we have the mind of Christ. That's who we are. We're sons and daughters. You know, the mind of Christ is in every one of you. So you have the ability. And don't go tempt the Lord. Don't go try to walk water. Don't go try to go raise the dead unless you have the true faith that you need, that God has called you. Because they're raising the dead out there. Trust me. Third world countries don't know no better. They're doing it because they don't know no better. They haven't been said that doesn't exist. They haven't been said that kind of teaching has gone away with the apostles. They don't know no better but to trust in what they trust in, because he has proven himself. And I know he's proven himself to many of you already. Now, how can I let go of something to so love me, that so loves me? Everybody's turned their back, but he's been there. Come on, say amen. I failed him and he didn't leave me. I've said no, but he said yes, I'm here. I said no, God, I don't deserve you. He says you're right, but I chose you. Because I know where I've come from. I know what we've done. But the lie is that what they don't let you hear out there, because the devil is a liar. Come on, he's the father of liars, and he uses the church to lie to us. Because if you didn't know better, the devil was the church. He was the worship leader of the church. Come on, say amen. That's why they're always under attack. The worship team is always under attack. We pray for them, say amen. We pray for you. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. And the only way that the enemy can lie to us is by speaking lies to us. And us listening. Come on, say amen. Stand to your feet. But today I want you to know, you need to know the works of the Lord. We need to follow him and follow him And sing the song, I will follow you wherever you go. Come on, say amen. Because your freedom is here. Your liberty is here, which is going to lead you into your rest. Come on. I shouldn't have to fight what we're going to eat today. I shouldn't, right? Just be thankful. I get to eat today. Well, what do you want to eat? I don't know. Right? And then there goes the argument. You choose. No, you choose. And you choose. And they say, no, 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 no. Okay. That's me. I don't care. Well, let's eat it. No, I don't want that. I don't know Chinese food. Come on. I don't want Mexican food. I don't even want American food. Actually, I'm not hungry. Because the spirit man is still taking control right now. When you walk in the spirit, you can say no to food for days. Come on, are you listening, church? So let us pray for our freedom and walk, and let's walk in it today, right? Because why? I have the mind of Christ. Why? Because I've been called in my freedom. I've been called. And just because you're not free, don't think you're going to wrap me up and not be free. I'm going to give you answers, but if you don't want the answers, well, that's on you, not me. Say amen. Because I'm going to keep coming to the one that freed me. My cross, I've picked up. Come on, say amen. Heavenly Father.